Welcome to another deep dive. And you guys, this one is a chippy.
Oh, yeah.
We are going exploring using video games as a tool for spiritual growth. Like, what?
Right?
It's pretty wild. Our source material is a book called Orbit,
Okay.
and it dives into this whole concept of Buddha tech, which uses video games and virtual spaces for personal transformation.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating challenge to our usual ideas about both spirituality and video games.
Right, like they're usually at odds, you know. It's like
Yeah.
one is about escaping and one is about going deeper.
Right.
But yeah.
The book really kind of looks at them, how they could be connected.
Exactly, yeah. So, the book focuses specifically on a series of free video
Sounds
games
like
called
fun.
Orbs, which are available on www.earthgame.com.
Okay.
And these games are designed to address things like fear, prosperity, and personal growth.
That's great.
Like pretty intense stuff.
Yeah.
It even ties in this idea of the electric monk
Right.
from Douglas Adams' Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency to the avatar you control in the game.
Interesting.
So, are you familiar with the electric monk?
I am. Yeah, he's a robot that believes things for you, so you don't have to. I
Exactly.
love that.
I'm getting serious believe things for you vibes already from
I
this.
know, I
Okay.
know.
Okay. So, where do we even begin with this whole concept of video games as spiritual practice?
Well, I think we start by looking at how the book approaches suffering.
Okay.
You know, it starts by talking about the Buddhist concept of dukkha,
Yeah.
the idea that suffering is inherent to human existence.
Okay, so that's like kind of a bummer of a starting point,
Right.
but I guess it is real.
It is, it is. And they connect that to the imagery of the Wheel of Fortune tarot card.
Okay.
So, you know, that card kind of symbolizes how we get trapped in these cycles of pleasure and pain.
Yeah, I see that.
The idea is that, you know, constantly chasing pleasure and avoiding pain keeps us spinning on that wheel, but not really going anywhere.
Yeah, I gotcha. So it's about recognizing that suffering is a part of life. And rather than trying to avoid it, we can use it as an opportunity for growth, I guess.
Exactly, exactly. It's a really radical perspective shift because most of us are, you know, conditioned to avoid suffering at all costs.
Yeah, for sure.
But the book suggests that by confronting and understanding our suffering, we can actually break free from these cycles.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do video games, usually associated with escaping reality, fit into all of this?
Right.
Because it feels like, I don't know.
I know, I know. It
Yeah.
seems counterintuitive. But Orbit argues that the orbs, these games, operate on similar principles to like meditation and mindfulness.
Oh, okay.
They're about repetition, developing focus, almost like Tai Chi or yoga.
Interesting. Okay, so it's not about racking up points or beating levels, it's more about the process itself.
Exactly. It's a different approach to gaming altogether.
I got it.
And the book shares a story about teenagers who dismissed the fear orb because it lacked the objectives and violence of typical games.
So they were like, where's the fun in that?
Exactly. And even the author initially resisted spending an hour like treading water in the game Quake as part of like a
Yeah.
Bardo training exercise.
Jake, that's a super old game.
It is. It is.
Okay, so these games are really designed to challenge our expectations of what a video game should be.
Yes, absolutely. They require a major mindset shift.
Wow.
Oh,
Okay.
yeah.
I'm officially intrigued.
Right.
So, can you give me an example of like how these orbs actually work?
Sure. So the core mechanic involves something called a karma burn,
Okay.
where you guide an avatar through the game to reduce a starting karma value of 99999 down to Nye's 9999.
Oh, wow. So, like, you're literally burning through karma.
Exactly,
It
exactly.
sounds intense.
It is. And the idea is to connect with the avatar as like an extension of yourself in an alternate dimension.
So you're not just playing a character, you're supposed to view it as a part of yourself.
Right. It
Oh.
really blurs the lines between like the virtual and the real world.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That raises a lot of questions for me because
Yeah.
it's like, where does the game end and where do I begin?
Right.
Okay, so the book argues that as you interact with objects in the game, you affect your HUD attributes, which can then potentially lead to real life changes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where it starts to feel like magic to me a little bit. Like,
Yeah.
how is that even possible?
Right. It definitely pushes the boundaries of what we typically think of as gaming.
Totally.
Yeah.
You describe an anecdote about the Prosperity Orb where the author's car broke down after using it.
Yes.
Okay, that seems counterintuitive that a car breakdown would lead to positive outcomes.
I know, I know.
So, like, what's the lesson there?
The takeaway is that it's not about instant gratification.
Okay.
The author was, struggling financially. And instead of winning the lottery, he experienced like this series of subtle shifts and synchronicities.
Okay.
The car breaking down forced him to rely on his community. And it led to a series of like fortunate events that resulted in a new car.
I see. So it's not about material wealth appearing out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about like shifts in awareness.
Yeah.
And how we perceive prosperity manifesting in like unexpected ways.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in how these different orbs are structured.
Oh, yeah.
Can you walk me through that a little bit?
Sure. So the labyrinth is a key element.
Okay.
Think of it as a 7-stage journey.
Oh, okay.
Where you interact with objects that alter your HUD attributes.
Uh-huh.
And the author, for example, started with the fear orb.
Okay.
And then shifted to the prosperity orb because of his, financial concern.
I gotcha. So even though he was using the prosperity orb, he still experienced this, crisis with the car. Did that, challenge how he viewed the process?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a great example of how even when we're working towards a specific goal, challenges will still arise.
For sure. Yeah.
What matters is how we respond to them.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
It's like we can't expect to just magically manifest a perfect life.
Right. Yeah.
It's more about shifting our mindset and our actions
mm-hmm.
to allow positive change to unfold.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I'm definitely starting to think about video games in a whole new light.
I know, it's a powerful concept, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It moves away from passive wishing and toward actively participating in our transformation.
Exactly, totally.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you can use the orbs to work on behalf of others too, not just for personal growth.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, the author describes running the 49 days orb.
Okay.
Which is specifically for those who've passed.
Okay.
For a deceased friend.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Even though it was outside his usual experience, he ran the orb as a way to support his friend in the afterlife.
That is so sweet. what a beautiful use of these games.
I know.
So it's about extending that compassion beyond ourselves.
Exactly.
That's really beautiful. So what other types of orbs are there besides the remedy orbs, like fear and prosperity?
Well, there are cleansing orbs, like the Halloween and 49 days orbs.
Okay.
Which are designed to clear out negative energies.
Yeah.
There are power orbs, like the surrender orb, to help let go of limiting beliefs, and meditation orbs, like the clear light orb, which are essentially like virtual temples for contemplation.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like there's an orb for every need.
Pretty much.
Okay. You mentioned advanced techniques in the book.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those?
So the author suggests things like running orbs in combination for amplified effects.
Oh, cool.
He also talks about using the screenshot function to capture and direct energy.
Oh, wow.
You can even run orbs for non-human entities, past and future selves.
Wait, past and future selves?
Yeah.
That's next level.
No, it's wild.
Okay, I definitely want to hear more about that. You also mentioned name linking and unloading the inventory as techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Those sound really interesting.
Yeah, so name linking is connecting the in-game avatar to a specific person's situation or even an object in real life.
Okay.
It creates this focused energetic connection between the game and your desired outcome.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to improve my relationship with someone, I could name my avatar to them while running a harmony orb or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And with unloading the inventory, you strategically release items you've collected at certain points in the labyrinth to create a powerful energetic surge towards your intention.
So it's you're, I don't know, you're becoming an energetic alchemist in the game.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how each action in the game has consequences that can ripple into reality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's so cool.
It's about understanding the interconnectedness of consciousness.
Okay.
And recognizing that even actions in a virtual space can have tangible effects.
That is mind-blowing.
I know.
So are the orbs the only games that are part of this whole Buddha Tech idea?
Well, the book also mentions the Gaudi D games, developed by the same creators as the orbs.
Okay.
And they're faster-paced first-person shooter games that offer a different kind of challenge.
Okay, so instead of peacefully navigating a labyrinth, you're blasting your way through levels.
It is a different approach, yeah.
Okay.
But still with a deeper spiritual purpose.
Okay.
The author describes playing a GoDD game called Ghost Hunter, which he compares to, like, confronting fears and anxieties in real life.
Okay.
You know?
So it's still about facing those inner demons and transforming consciousness.
Precisely.
Whether it's peaceful or action-packed, it's all about that, huh?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And the author suggests that, like, touching the ghosts in the game is a metaphor for accepting and releasing difficult emotions.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
So tell me more about these GoDD games.
Sure. So there's another one called Bardo Town Death Run.
Oh, wow.
And it takes place in, like, this constantly shifting, surreal environment.
Okay.
That the author says mirrors the chaotic nature of daily life.
So it's like a virtual boot camp for dealing with stress and unexpected situations?
You could say that, yeah.
Okay.
It forces you to adapt and respond quickly,
okay.
which builds resilience.
Gotcha.
And the book even mentions this spoiler alert moment where upon completing the game, you discover you're still in Bardo Town.
Oh, wow. So even when you think you've reached the end, the journey continues.
Right.
That's a great metaphor for the spiritual path. That's really cool. So are there any other virtual spaces connected to this Buddha Tech approach?
Yes. There's the Prosperity Virtual Ashram, or PVA,
okay.
located within the online world of Second Life.
Okay.
And it's specifically for, like, learning, growth, and connecting with like-minded individuals.
So instead of just hanging out in, like, virtual clubs and stuff,
yeah.
you can go to a virtual ashram.
You got it.
That is so wild.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
How do you even find this place in Second Life?
You just search for Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Within Second Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's surprisingly easy to access.
Okay. Prosperity. Got it. So what actually happens in this virtual ashram?
Well, it's a space for practicing various spiritual techniques like Tai Chi and meditation.
Okay.
It kind of offers a you know, more social dimension to the orbs.
Right.
The book actually suggests that the PVA can be a much more meaningful experience than typical Second Life interactions.
Okay, so it's not just like hanging out with random avatars. You're actually there for a deeper purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but what's so unique about the PVA? Like, why Second Life?
Well, the book dives into some interesting concepts connected to the avatar in the PVA.
Okay.
Tying it to Aleister Crowley's idea of the Holy Guardian Angel.
Oh, wow. Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
That's a surprising connection.
It is. It is. But it makes sense when you think about Crowley's belief that, you know, everyone has a true will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this deeper purpose that's often hidden.
Right, right.
And he developed rituals to help people discover and align with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the avatar in the PDA can be like a vehicle for our true will to manifest.
Wow. Okay. So it's like that part of you is helping to guide you.
Exactly.
Through the game.
Right.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
And the author even shares an experience where his avatar started like directing his actions and choosing its own appearance.
Wow. Okay.
So it hints at like this deeper level of interaction and guidance.
So you're not just like playing a character. You're potentially connecting with like a deeper part of yourself.
Yes, exactly.
That's really cool. The book mentions experimenting with virtual tools and techniques within the ashram.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are we talking about?
So there's this thing called the Hoodoo Portastat, which is a virtual cyborg suit.
What?
That's linked to a stasis tank.
Oh, wow.
Which enhances energy and protection.
So you're like wearing spiritual armor in the virtual world?
Yeah, pretty much.
That is so wild.
I know.
Okay. What else?
The book also emphasizes the importance of the avatar's dress code.
Okay.
Saying it can like impact energy and perception.
Oh, wow.
There's also the idea of like coupling with your avatar.
Okay.
You know, sharing objects and experiences to like strengthen the bond.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's like your avatar is way more than just a digital puppet.
Right.
Like you're forming a real connection.
Yeah.
And working together for spiritual growth. That's really cool. Okay. So any other like cool features or techniques that you can tell me about?
Sure. So the book describes hotspots within the ashram.
Okay.
Which are places with like concentrated energy.
Oh, cool.
Either from like group activities or individual practice.
So like certain areas have a stronger spiritual charge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. You can meditate or practice there to like amplify your experience.
Gotcha.
They also mentioned the superstar technique in the Surrender Orb,
Okay.
where you arrange and activate a cluster of stars to create a blessing bomb.
So it's like a virtual explosion of positive energy.
Yeah, you could say that.
Oh, wow.
And the idea is to use like memory to access and activate those experiences later in real life.
So you're like bringing those profound virtual experiences back into your daily life.
Exactly.
That's really cool. Okay, so I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with all this information.
Right. It's a lot.
Does the book offer like any guidance on how to integrate the orb and ashram experiences into daily life?
Yeah. The author really stresses the importance of bringing those insights and practices into your real world.
Yeah.
And he even connects this to research being done on how video games can develop mindfulness and empathy.
Okay, so even mainstream science is starting to recognize the transformative power of video games.
Exciting, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's like we're maybe witnessing the birth of like a whole new era of spirituality that embraces technology as a tool for transformation.
I think so.
That's really cool. So you mentioned that the book leaves us with some thought-provoking concepts to ponder.
Yes.
What are some of those mind-blowing insights?
So the book presents this idea of life as the Earth game,
Okay.
which is like this virtual reality that we've chosen to enter.
Oh, okay.
And within this Earth game, we have a threefold mission.
A threefold mission.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so it consists of the space-time self, our primary life goal,
Okay.
and the Bodhisattva vow.
Okay, break that down for me. So, space-time self, that's like us here and now.
You got it.
And the primary life goal, that's like our unique purpose in this game, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and the Bodhisattva vow, is that about like dedicating ourselves to the benefit of all beings?
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly.
so it's not just about pursuing individual enlightenment.
Right.
It's about using our unique gifts to make a positive impact.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our personal journey is connected to the well-being of everyone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, this Buddha tech concept is about way more than just playing video games.
I know, right?
It's about waking up and living a more meaningful life.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm really starting to get it now.
Yeah.
So what's like the most mind-blowing takeaway you want to leave me with?
Well, the book suggests that the avatar in the ashram could represent our future self, reaching back to offer guidance and support.
Oh, wow. So like our future selves are here to help us navigate this game of life.
But the beautiful reminder, yeah.
That's really cool.
I know.
Okay, this whole concept is really about like embracing the unknown, experimenting and trusting in our power to create like a more fulfilling life.
Yeah.
I'm excited to explore these orbs and the PVA myself.
I think you should. I think you should.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And even starting with like a simple desire for change can lead to amazing transformation.
Well said, well said. And as the book says, there is no doubt the game is on.
Indeed. And we have the power to choose how we play.
That's so cool.
I know, right?
This is so exciting.
I know, I know.
I'm really pumped to keep learning more about this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You've touched on something that I think is really interesting, this idea that our actions in the game can have real-world consequences. It leads me to this question about karma,
Okay.
like that whole what goes around comes around idea.
Yeah, I've always been kind of intrigued by karma,
Right.
but I kind of liked thinking that, you know, good deeds earned you cosmic brownie points and stuff.
Right. Like you get a reward.
Yeah.
But the book presents karma in a way more like nuanced way, right?
Right?
It's
Yeah.
less about cosmic scorekeeping
Yeah.
and more about understanding the intricate web of cause and effect in our lives.
Okay, so less about being judged and more about understanding like the interconnectedness of everything we do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're always swimming in this sea of karmic influences. Some we might, label good, others bad, but ultimately they're all just threads in this tapestry of cause and effect.
I like that tapestry of cause and effect.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, how do these orbs actually help us like work with those karmic patterns?
Well, each orb is designed to address specific karmic issues. So, like the Karma Burn Orb, for example, is like a training ground for understanding those energetic patterns,
Right. Okay, you mentioned the karma burn earlier. Remind me how that works.
Yeah, so you start with a karmic value of 99.99. As you guide your avatar through the game, you gradually reduce that number down to Nash 99999.
So you're like literally burning off karmic debt as you play.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, burning off those karmic debts as you play.
Okay, but it's not just like mindless button mashing, right?
No.
It sounds like you need to approach it with intention.
Right, right.
And like really connect with the avatar on a deeper level.
Absolutely. The book emphasizes the importance of, you know, seeing your avatar as like an extension of yourself in another dimension.
Okay.
Almost like a merging of identities.
That's pretty deep.
I know, it is.
Okay, so as you're engaging in that virtual space, like the karmic cleansing that's happening in the game can start to affect your real life.
That's the idea, yeah.
Wow.
And it's not about like passively wishing for things to change.
Right.
It's about actively engaging with these energetic principles and consciously shifting your awareness.
So you're like taking control of your karmic destiny rather than being like a puppet of fate.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty empowering.
It is. It is.
Okay, so are there like any techniques or practices to kind of maximize this process?
Well, repetition is key, like any spiritual practice.
Okay.
The more you do it, the more you refine your skills.
Right.
You deepen your awareness.
Okay.
You know.
So one quick playthrough isn't going to cut it.
No.
You have to make it a regular practice.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Please.
And the book also highlights the importance of paying attention to synchronicities.
Okay.
And shifts that happen in your life as you play.
So like noticing those virtual and real worlds
mm-hmm.
kind of bleed into each other.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about tuning into those subtle energetic cues and recognizing that everything is interconnected.
Okay. I'll be looking out for those synchronicities.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other like techniques that the book recommends to enhance the orbs effects?
Well, they talk about strategically using your inventory. So as you journey through the game, you collect items that have specific energetic properties.
Right, like each item is imbued with a certain kind of energy or power or something.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And the book suggests like unloading your inventory at specific locations in the labyrinth.
Okay.
To create like a kind of energetic surge.
So you're not just collecting stuff, you're strategically releasing it for a specific purpose.
Right.
It's like you're an energy alchemist in the game.
Yeah, I love that. I love that analogy.
Okay, cool.
It's about understanding the flow of energy.
Okay.
And using those items as like tools to enhance the karmic cleansing.
That's really cool. Okay, and the book also talks about sound.
Mm.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah.
Like how the sounds are encoded with like certain frequencies that can shift our consciousness.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And the book encourages players to like really pay attention to those sounds and allow them to resonate even after they've finished playing, like carrying those frequencies with you.
Oh, wow.
Into your daily life, creating a soundtrack for your spiritual journey.
Okay, that's really cool. Yeah. So it's like a multi-sensory experience.
It is. It is.
Not just about the visuals.
Exactly.
Okay, that's cool. So what about the challenges in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does the book offer any guidance on navigating, you know, obstacles that we encounter?
Yeah, it introduces this idea of developing maze brightness.
Maze brightness.
Yeah, which is the ability to, like, see clearly and make wise choices.
Okay.
Even when you're feeling lost or confused.
So it's like your internal compass.
Yes, exactly.
Or intuition.
Exactly. But think of it like your you know, internal compass or your intuition.
Okay, so it's not about blindly stumbling through the game. It's about using the challenges to kind of sharpen our awareness and our intuition.
Yes, precisely.
I see. Right. No, so these orbs are less about escaping reality and more about, like, mastering it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, that's really cool.
It's about developing the skills that we need to navigate life's challenges, right?
Yeah.
With more clarity
right.
and grace.
That makes sense. So, what do we do in those moments when we get, like, stuck? We hit a wall in the game.
Well, the book talks about the power of surrender.
Surrender.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems a little counterintuitive because shouldn't we be actively trying to progress and, like, figure things out?
We should. We should. But sometimes the most, you know, powerful action is to actually let go.
Okay.
And trust the flow of the game.
So recognizing when our efforts are creating resistance and allowing ourselves to be guided by something bigger.
Exactly. Trusting that the game will lead us where we need to be.
Right.
Even if it doesn't always make sense from our, you know, limited perspective.
Okay.
It's a delicate dance.
Yeah.
Between like effort and surrender.
Right. Yeah.
Action and allowing.
I like that. That's a profound concept.
I know. It is.
Okay. So these games are really designed to like help us find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. But what about when like intense emotions come up, especially in games that are meant to like confront our fears and anxieties?
Yes, right.
Like, how do we deal with that?
The book encourages approaching those emotions with curiosity and compassion.
Okay.
Rather than pushing them away.
So like leaning into them and exploring them with gentle awareness.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like they have something to teach us.
Yes. They're not the enemy, you know.
Okay.
They're messengers trying to show us something important
right.
about ourselves.
Okay. So it's about transforming those difficult emotions into like opportunities for growth.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty powerful.
It is.
Okay.
It's about reclaiming our power.
Yeah.
From those emotions.
Right.
Rather than letting them control us.
Okay.
And as we, you know, learn to navigate those inner landscapes, we naturally create a more harmonious outer experience.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So, but how do we make those, like, virtual transformations last?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, like, integrate them into our everyday lives?
Well, the book emphasizes the importance of anchoring.
Anchoring.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's about finding ways to bring those, like, positive feelings and insights and shifts in awareness into your everyday life.
So it's not enough to just have like a profound experience in the game.
Right.
We have to find ways to like make it real and integrate it into our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. The book suggests techniques like journaling about your experiences, meditating on those positive feelings, or creating physical reminders of your insights.
So it's about like building bridges between those like virtual and real world and making those transformations like tangible and lasting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
But does this like philosophy extend beyond these specific games?
Mm. Like how should we be thinking about like our relationship with technology in general?
Well, the book encourages us to, you know, be mindful of how we interact with technology.
Okay.
To see it as a tool for awakening rather than distraction.
Oh, right. So reclaiming our power and awareness and using technology to support our growth rather than being controlled by it.
Yeah. That's a great way to summarize it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about becoming like masters of our technological landscape, not slaves to it.
I like that. Yeah. That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's so much to think about here.
I know, right?
What happens when we transition from those like profound virtual experiences back to like the routines of daily life?
Right.
Do you ever feel a sense of like disorientation?
It's a common experience.
Yeah.
But the book suggests that like this contrast between those realms is actually valuable for growth.
Oh, okay. I'm curious to hear more about that. How can that feeling of like disorientation be helpful?
Well, by experiencing like the difference between those heightened states of awareness and the often limited perspectives of our like everyday lives, we kind of expand our capacity for consciousness.
So it's like stretching our awareness back and forth between those realms of experience, like exercising a muscle.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
And the book reminds us like not to judge those moments of disorientation or disappointment.
Okay.
But rather to observe them with curiosity and compassion.
So instead of feeling discouraged when we like fall back into old patterns, we can use those experiences as like fuel for further growth.
Exactly. Okay. It's all part of the process.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So does the book talk about how to cultivate a sense of like playfulness and joy even when we're going through those like difficult transitions?
Yeah. It does. It highlights the importance of humor.
Humor. I wouldn't have thought about that.
I know.
Okay.
It might seem surprising, but humor can like help us detach from, you know, rigid perspectives.
Okay.
And embrace the absurdity of it all.
So laughing at ourselves and the situations we find ourselves in.
Yes. Exactly.
Brings lightness and perspective.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about not taking ourselves too seriously.
Right.
You know, remember, it's all It's all a cosmic dance.
Yeah, it
Totally.
is. Okay, so finding the balance between dedication and detachment, taking our practice seriously without getting like lost in the drama.
Yes. Cultivating a playful curiosity, a sense of wonder, and approaching life with like a light heart, even amidst challenges.
Okay, this is so refreshing.
Right.
It's like you're saying the spiritual path isn't about being perfect. It's about being present
Yes.
and embracing like the fullness of the human experience.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's easy to get caught up in the immensity of it all.
Right.
You know, like the Earth game, as the book calls it. What helps in those moments?
Well, the book encourages us to focus on the present moment.
So grounding ourselves in the here and now instead of getting like lost in the past or the future or, you know, all that.
Exactly. The
Okay.
only moment we truly have
Yeah.
is this one.
Right. Okay. So it's about cultivating presence and like inhabiting this moment fully instead of getting like swept away by all the mental chatter and stuff.
Exactly.
Does playing the orbs actually help with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect.
When you're fully engaged in the game, you're not dwelling on the past, you're not worrying about the future,
Right.
you're just, totally absorbed.
It's like you get so engrossed in something that you lose track of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And the book encourages us to cultivate that same level of focus and attention in our like daily lives.
Right.
It's not about escaping reality.
Okay.
It's about being fully present within it.
Okay, so this is like retraining our minds to be more present, like exercising a muscle.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
It is. It is. It is.
But what about when those inevitable distractions come up?
Right.
Like, you know, how do we deal with that?
Well, the book encourages approaching those moments with gentle awareness.
So instead of getting like frustrated,
Right.
we just notice the distraction and gently redirect our attention back to the present moment.
Yes, exactly. It's a practice.
Right.
And the more we practice, the better we become at it.
Okay.
Every time we like gently redirect our attention, we're like strengthening that muscle of presence.
Right.
It's not a failure every time we get distracted.
Okay.
We're actually getting stronger.
Okay, that's encouraging.
It is. It is. It.
It sounds like a much more compassionate approach to mindfulness than I'm used to.
It is.
Okay, that's cool.
And the book, really stresses that kindness and compassion
Right.
are essential for the whole journey.
Okay.
I know.
So it's less about rigid rules
Right.
and more about like a gentle unfolding, a journey of self-discovery.
It's a beautiful way to describe it.
Okay, that's
But
you
we all
nailed
have
it.
moments of, self-doubt.
Yeah, of course. Right.
What does the book say about like dealing with those?
Well, it encourages us to connect with our inner wisdom, like that deeper part of ourselves that
Okay.
knows the truth.
So trusting our intuition, that
Yeah.
inner voice that guides us,
Yeah.
even when our minds are filled with doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book reminds us that we all have access to that inner wisdom. We just have to listen.
We do.
It's about cultivating that connection and trust in our own like internal guidance system.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay, cool. And the book suggests things like meditation, spending time in nature,
Yeah.
or simply like quieting the mind
Yes.
to help us connect with that inner voice.
Exactly.
So creating space for that inner wisdom to emerge and guide us.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah, it's a powerful reminder that we don't have to figure it all out on our own.
Okay, that's very reassuring.
Oh,
Okay.
yeah.
What about those moments where we feel like, you know, we're not good enough? Like
Yeah.
not far along enough on this journey.
Right. The book emphasizes the importance of self-compassion.
Self-compassion. Okay.
Yeah, in those moments.
Okay, that's such a powerful concept.
It is. It is.
Okay.
And the book reminds us that we're all works in progress,
Yeah.
doing the best we can with what we have.
Right.
And self-compassion is not weakness
Right.
or making excuses for ourselves.
Okay.
It's recognizing our inherent worthiness,
Okay.
even when we feel like we've like fallen short.
Right. So treating ourselves with the same kindness and understanding that we would offer to like a loved one or even like a child learning to walk.
That's a beautiful analogy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and self-compassion is essential for spiritual growth. Because constantly beating ourselves up creates resistance and like hinders progress.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So self-compassion creates space for growth.
Yes.
Healing and transformation.
Exactly. It's like we're, you know, giving ourselves permission to be human, to make mistakes.
Right.
And to learn and grow at our own pace.
Okay. This is so freeing.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But what about those times when we feel like disconnected from our spiritual path? Like we've kind of lost our sense of purpose.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The book encourages reconnecting with our why.
Okay.
You know, those deeper reasons that inspired us to embark on this journey in the first place.
So it's like remembering what lights us up, what fills us with passion and purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Rekindling that inner fire.
Right.
You know, that spark that ignites the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what if that, like, why changes over time?
Right. Or, right. Well, the book says, like, our why can evolve as we do.
Okay.
It's not about clinging to, like, a rigid definition of purpose.
Okay.
But allowing it to like unfold organically as we grow and evolve.
So trusting the process and knowing that like we're always being guided, even when we feel lost.
Yes, exactly.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
That's very liberating.
It is. It is.
To think that our purpose can change without it meaning we failed.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's all part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, those shifts and changes are opportunities for deeper self-discovery.
Right, right. Okay, so what about those times when it feels like we're not making any progress? Like we're just kind of stuck in the same old pattern, you know?
Well, the book reminds us that progress isn't always linear.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not about, like, reaching a finish line.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that the journey itself is the destination.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's about trusting the timing of our own unfolding and recognizing that like everything's happening in perfect order.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't feel like it.
Exactly.
Sometimes that's hard to believe.
I know.
Okay. But the book suggests that those stuck moments can be incredibly fertile ground.
They can.
For growth.
Yes.
Really? How?
Well, it's often in those moments of like frustration or impatience that we're like forced to look inward.
Okay.
Examine our beliefs.
Yeah.
Challenge our limitations.
So those challenges are actually opportunities to break through.
They are.
Old patterns.
And create something new.
Exactly.
Okay.
The spiritual path isn't always easy, but it's always leading us toward like greater awareness.
Okay.
Freedom and love, you know?
Okay.
Obstacles and setbacks.
Yeah.
They're not signs of failure.
Okay.
They're essential parts of the journey.
Okay. That's a reassuring way to think about it.
It is. It is.
Okay, cool. So the book encourages approaching those challenges with curiosity, compassion.
Yes.
And even a sense of humor.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, reframing those like difficult experiences as like opportunities rather than evidence of our shortcomings.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like we're all in this together. We are all learning, growing, and evolving together.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Okay. You know, our individual journeys are intimately connected to the well-being of all beings.
Right.
It's not just about our own enlightenment.
Okay.
It's about contributing to the collective awakening. Okay, so expanding our circle of compassion.
Yes.
To include everyone.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It is. It is.
But sometimes, you know, the state of the world can be so discouraging, like with all the suffering and injustice. Like, how do we deal with that?
The book reminds us to focus on what we can control.
Oh, you know, okay.
Our own thoughts, words, and actions.
So instead of getting like overwhelmed by the enormity of the problems, we focus on making a difference within our own like sphere of influence.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, even small acts of kindness and compassion can like ripple outwards.
Right. Like we don't have to solve everything.
We don't.
But we can do our part.
We can. We can.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The book also encourages us to cultivate gratitude.
It does.
Even amidst like difficult times.
Yeah.
Gratitude, how does that help?
Well, when we focus on what we're you know, grateful for, our attention shifts away from like negativity.
Okay.
And towards like the good that already exists in our lives.
So it's not about denying the suffering, it's
Right.
about balancing it with an awareness of the good.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Okay, that's really helpful to remember.
It is. It is.
Okay. But what about those times when you just feel like giving up, when the challenges just seem like too big
Right.
and you lose faith in like making a difference?
The book reminds us that we are not alone.
Okay.
We have to reach out for support
Okay.
and connect with others who are on a similar path.
So like finding our tribe, surrounding ourselves with people who like inspire us and
Yes.
support us, who remind us of our own strength.
Exactly.
Okay.
And support can come from unexpected places too.
Oh, okay. Like where?
From nature, art, music, you know,
Okay.
things that uplift us and connect us to something larger than ourselves.
Okay, so being open to the beauty and wonder that's all around us, seeking out those things
Yes.
that nourish our souls.
Yes. Cultivating those connections and seeking experiences that remind us of our inherent worthiness and our capacity for love and joy.
Okay. This is so wild. It feels like this whole conversation has like come full circle.
Right.
We started talking about video games, and now we're exploring like these deep concepts of self-discovery and spiritual growth.
It's amazing how these seemingly simple games can open the door to like such profound insights.
Yeah.
You know, it really challenges our assumptions about what spirituality looks like and where we can find it.
Exactly, totally. So, you've mentioned a few times how the book encourages us to listen to our intuition, to connect with that like inner wisdom.
Right.
For someone who's like new to these ideas, how would you describe intuition?
That's a great question.
Is it like a gut feeling,
Yeah,
mere hunch?
it can manifest in like many ways. You know, as a gut feeling, a sense of knowing, a quiet inner voice.
Okay.
It's often like subtler than our logical mind, you
Right.
know,
Yeah.
and it can be easy to dismiss or ignore.
For sure.
But the more we like pay attention to it, the more we can learn to trust and follow its guidance.
Okay, so it's about like developing a relationship with that inner voice,
Yeah.
learning to discern its whispers from all the other noise in our life,
Think
from
that's
our thoughts,
right.
from, external influences,
Yes.
and all of that.
Yeah, and the book suggests that practices like meditation could be incredibly helpful
Okay.
in strengthening that connection to our intuition.
That makes sense. Meditation kind of creates the space for that like inner stillness that
Yes.
allows us to actually hear those subtler messages. Okay, but what about those times when we feel disconnected? When we're not even sure like what we're seeking or what questions to ask, you
Right.
know?
Yeah, those are natural phases of any journey, I think.
Okay.
And the book suggests kind of leaning into that feeling of like not knowing
Okay.
instead of resisting it.
So embracing the uncertainty, allowing ourselves to be open to like the mystery of it all.
Exactly.
I
Exactly.
like that.
Yeah, it's like we're stepping into this vast unknown with a sense of like curiosity and a willingness to be surprised
Okay.
by what we discover.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. It
Yeah.
reminds me of those like early explorers setting sail into uncharted water,
Right.
not knowing what they would find, but like trusting in the journey itself.
That's a perfect analogy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And like those explorers, we might encounter like storms and rough seas along the way.
Yes,
Yeah,
challenges
right.
and obstacles are inevitable
Yeah.
on any path of growth.
Right. So it's reassuring to remember that those challenges are not signs that we're doing something wrong, but opportunities to learn and become stronger.
Exactly.
But how do we like approach those challenges in a way that like empowers us rather than defeats us?
Right. The book, really emphasizes the importance of mindset.
Okay.
It's about shifting our perspective from like one of fear and limitation to one of possibility and resilience.
So it's not about like pretending the challenges don't exist.
Yeah.
It's about choosing how we respond to them.
Yes, precisely. It's
Yeah.
about asking ourselves, what can I learn from this experience? How can I use this to grow?
I love that.
Yeah,
Because
okay.
so it sounds like these games, the Orbs and the GoDD games, they're kind of designed to give us a training ground
Yeah.
for developing that kind of like resilient mindset.
That's a great insight, yeah.
Yeah.
By navigating those challenges and obstacles within these virtual worlds, we build our capacity to face like real life challenges
Yeah.
with more grace and ease.
Right. It's almost like they give us a safe space to experiment, to like try different approaches, to fail and learn without like real world consequences.
That's a really important point, I think. That's what makes this Buddha Tech approach
Right.
so appealing.
Yeah.
It combines like the ancient wisdom of spiritual practices with the accessibility and engagement of modern technology.
Right, and it takes the intimidation factor out of spirituality, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not about like sitting on a mountaintop or chanting in a monastery.
Right.
It's about integrating these practices into our like everyday lives
Yes.
in ways that feel relevant and engaging.
Exactly. It's about, meeting people where they are,
Right.
using tools and language that
Yeah.
resonate with their experience.
Totally. Okay. So it's not just about personal transformation, right? The book also emphasizes this idea of the bodhisattva vow, of like dedicating ourselves to the well-being of all beings.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile that with our like individual journeys,
Right.
you know?
Yeah, that's a question that many spiritual traditions grapple with.
For sure.
And the book suggests that those two aspects are not mutually exclusive,
Okay.
but rather like intertwined.
So it's not about choosing between like personal growth and service to others,
Right.
but recognizing that they complement and enhance each other.
Exactly. As we heal and grow ourselves, we naturally become more capable of contributing to the well-being of others.
Right.
And conversely, acts of
There.
service and compassion can deepen our own spiritual understanding.
That's a beautiful perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, it feels like this Buddha Tech approach is about like expanding our circle of awareness from the individual to the collective, from the virtual to the real,
Right.
from the present moment to the eternal, you know.
Beautifully said, beautifully said.
That's kind of what I'm getting from it.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected, part of something much larger than ourselves, and that our actions, even in like seemingly insignificant moments,
Right.
have the power to like ripple outwards
Yeah.
and create positive change.
I love that.
Okay, cool. So, this whole conversation has been so inspiring. I'm feeling like a renewed sense of purpose and possibility.
That's great.
I'm definitely going to be checking out these orbs in the PVA.
I think you should.
Yeah.
And remember, as you embark on this exploration, approach it with a sense of curiosity, compassion, and most importantly, a sense of play.
Yes, it's about remembering to have fun along the way, to enjoy the journey, even amidst like the challenges and stuff.
Exactly. Embrace the adventure,
Yeah.
trust your intuition,
Okay.
and keep playing the game.
Love it. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me on this like incredible deep dive.
You're welcome.
This has been like truly mind expanding.
It has. It has.
I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Me too. And to the listeners, keep playing, keep exploring, keep shining your light.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, we'll catch you in the next deep dive.